Now, friends, we come today to the fifth chapter, 1 Kings. You have your Bible, you'll want to turn there. And you'll note now we're coming to the construction of the temple by Solomon. Now, I want us to note here in chapter 5, and I'll read along, beginning with verse 1. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father. For Hiram was ever a lover of David. Now, this is something to note. Whatever Hiram, king of Tyre, is going to do, it will not be because of Solomon, but because of his love and his esteem and respect for King David. Now, he sends to Solomon, and Solomon sends to him. And Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, Thou knowest how that David my father could not build an house under the name of the Lord his God for the wars which were about him on every side until the Lord put him under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. Now, only God, friends, can give peace, whether it be world peace or whether it be peace in the human heart. And only God can give this rest today that the human heart needs. That is why our Lord, when they rejected him as king, he could send out this personal, private, individual invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That is, burdened with sin, laden with iniquity, as Isaiah said. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll rest you. Only Christ can give rest today. Now, God has given Solomon rest, given him rest on every side. That is peace. Now, verse 5, And behold, I purpose to build a house under the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I'll set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build a house under my name. Now you see, it all stems from David, and God would not permit David to build the temple. Now probably we ought to go back now and get just a little background here relative to this building of the temple. Man actually has always been a builder from the very beginning. We're told even Cain, when he went out from the presence of the Lord, he built a city. And over the face of the earth are great scars, mounds, that hide the ruins of great cities and splendid buildings of the past. And the spade of the archaeologist has penetrated into the depths. And you can judge that civilization by the type of the building. Now, they say the caveman of the Stone Age, that is, if he ever existed, he's been labeled a barbarian and uncivilized. He's not a builder. He sought refuge in a cave. The Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Greeks, the Romans are all counted as civilized, and it's evidenced in their architecture. Now, modern man claims a high degree of culture because he's built subdivisions and shopping centers. And returning now to the construction of apartment buildings and tall office buildings, he's building today his own cave in which to live and work like a gopher. And the rest of the time he crawls on the freeway like a worm. And as long as he can push a button and turn a switch, he says he's living. That's modern man. Well, the very first building of impressive design were temples. All pagan peoples had temples. Some were crude. Some are the highest expression of beauty. The Parthenon is an example of it. And all stem, I think, from the Tower of Babel, the monument to man's gargantuan resistance to God. Pagan temples have been the highest architectural expression and the lowest spiritual level of pagans, uncivilized, and civilized. They've been elaborate. They've been large. They've been ornate. They've been rich. They've been impressive. Have been the temples of the kings on the river Nile, Asher of Nineveh, Marduk of Babylon, and the ziggurat in the Tigris-Euphrates Valley, Baal of the Phoenicians, Athena of the Greeks, in Athens the Parthenon, Jupiter of the Romans, the Aztecs of Mexico. All of them are a manifestation of rebellion against God. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They became vain in their imagination. And what did they do? Well, they built a temple. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and of birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They made a house for their God to live in. They put God in a box like a jack in a box. The temple, though, that was built in Jerusalem was never considered in Scripture as a house for God to dwell in. And friends, when we get over to 2 Chronicles, we'll find that the dedication of that temple, Solomon made it very clear God did not dwell in that temple. He said then, he says, "The heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, and how can this little house that we built?" When you think that they felt like they were building a house for God to dwell in, you just have missed the entire point. It was an approach from man to God and an access to God by sacrifice. I want you to notice the conception of the temple, then the construction of the temple, and the character of the temple in this section here. It's rather important. It was first in the mind of David. You remember he wanted to build God a house. That was the first thing. God would not let him build a house. But it was in the mind of David, and it was the thing he wanted to do. I'll have to go over to 1 Chronicles to pick this up. But will you notice in the 28th chapter, 1 Chronicles, verse 2 and 3, listen to this. "Then David the king stood upon his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for a footstool of our God." You see, all that temple was not a dwelling place, was a footstool for God, and had made ready for the building. "But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood." God would not let David build a temple, but it was in his heart to build God a temple. Now, the pattern was given to David, not to Solomon. We are told in verse 19 of 1 Chronicles 28, "All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern." In other words, David was given the blueprint of the temple, but God did not permit him to build it at all. And he gave this pattern, actually, to Solomon, as we'll see in 1 Chronicles, the 28th chapter again. That chapter is very important to read in this connection. We're told, verse 9 of 1 Chronicles 28, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, with a willing mind," and so on. "Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Then David gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch, and of the houses thereof, and of the treasures thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof. And not only that, but David is the one that gathered the material for it. I'm not going into detail. We'll get that again in 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter. David gathered all the gold and the silver and all the material. He did everything but build it, you see. So that you have the conception of the temple not in the mind and heart of Solomon. He's merely executing the will of God that first was in the heart of David to do for the Lord.